This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Franchise Hockey Manager 3, coming in October of 2016, officially licensed by the NHL, the first PC game to be officially licensed by the NHL in almost a decade. It is the next generation of hockey strategy for Mac and PC. Just $29.99 today. If you pre-order, you get $10 off that price. It's $29.99. Pre-order today, and you can get access to the early beta on October 17th. Franchise Hockey Manager 3 is the deepest, most authentic hockey strategy experience you can find, including for the first time ever. As I said, it is officially licensed by the NHL. It's got an all-new mode called Path to Glory that gets you in the game and having fun quickly with all sorts of streamlined features and goals. You can take the reins of your favorite NHL franchise to capture the Stanley Cup Championship. You can go back in time as well as play in current days. You can play in international leagues as well. Not just international leagues, but even as the international teams and international tournaments. It's got tons of new features, like an all-new tactic system, some scouting systems that are fantastic. There's so much more happening in Franchise Hockey Manager 3, as I mentioned, officially licensed by the NHL. If you pre-order it today, you get $10 off. It'll cost you just $29.99. You get access to the early beta. And man, we are so excited about Franchise Hockey Manager 3. Just go to ootpdevelopments.com. and look for Franchise Hockey Manager. Pre-order it today on your Mac or your PC. Get 10 bucks off. Well, hey, everybody. Rich Grisham here. Thank you, as always, for joining us on the Press Row Podcast. Tonight, we've got two old friends joining us. Up first, from Operation Sports. Yes, from Operation Sports, Chris Sanner, the long-lost Chris Sanner. He lives. Chris, welcome back to the show.
I know. It's been way too long, Rich. As we were discussing just a second ago in our pre-show press row before dark. It's just really, really, really busy for me these days. So I'm actually happy to jump on whenever I can.
Well, we're excited to have you here. And another good friend, it's been a while, but he is back, our resident FIFA guru, Mr. Jeremy Stein. Jeremy, how are you, sir?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for that warm welcome back.
So before we get into much else, first, I want to talk with you about something, Jeremy. You've been on the show before, talked a lot about FIFA, which we're going to talk a lot about tonight. But I don't know that we've ever talked about exactly what you're up to these days. I mean, I know last time when we spoke, I think you were doing something different. You are the, and correct me if I'm wrong, the product manager of one of the world's most successful mobile games. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what that is and what game that is and what's going on with that title these days?
It's been really good. I came out to California to join what was then called SGN. It was really unoriginal of me. I left GSN to go to SGN. But thankfully, SGN was cool enough to change their name to Jam City. That's what they're known as now. And they gave me an opportunity to work on this game called Panda Pop that was doing really well, really popular game. And they needed a new PM, so they gave me the reins on that. And I get to make that with a team of people in San Francisco and Buenos Aires. And you know, we're a pretty big international company, but that's where we make the game, and it's great. It's really fun. Panda Pop has got Scooby in the game right now, so we're doing this whole like Scooby-Doo thing where you beat levels. Right now it's about the Black Knight, so it's just kind of like a puzzle game recreation of the Black Knight episode. I can't really take credit for that. Our production and our team did amazing work on it. So it's actually really fun. It's pretty cool. And we've got a big game that's in the top 50 and hopefully getting into the top 25 apps. So, but it's like a top 25 game and it's doing really well. And that's been really fun.
Well, congratulations. That's awesome. You and I have known each other virtually for years and have met each other in person for the first time a few years ago. And, you know, it's been fascinating to watch how you've gone around and where you've landed now. It's just like when we were talking last week when we were in San Francisco, you know, just hearing the stories about the game and what you do and the success it's had, it's pretty amazing. How does it feel to be in charge of one of the most popular games in the world?
Uh, It feels really awesome. I mean, that's what you kind of set out to do. Like, my sister and my soon-to-be mother-in-law both actually play the game and love it. And honestly, since working on Madden, I haven't had a chance to, like, you know, work on something where you can just have a conversation about the game and get people's impressions. It's just cool that's really fun. Like, having your people played by lots of people is really fun. And, like, generally speaking, if you're going to get to do something that's doing well with especially a small team and isn't is basically leveraging the skill of everyone, you get to work with people who are real smart and really love making games. And it's really trite, but that sort of coming to work every day and working with people who love what they do and really understand it, and you just talk about movies and film like they're your friend the first day you meet them because they think like you do, it's really fun. So that's been just awesome.
So Chris Sanner, Operation Sports Executive Editor, what is happening around the virtual halls of Operation Sports these days?
Well, Rich, it's the same as ever. Steve's still a slave driver. It's impossible to work for that guy. I have no idea. I have no idea how I've lasted for like almost 10 years now at OS. I don't know how. I don't know how I've done it. Chase is ornery as ever. I just don't know. I don't know how I've made it this long. It's just it's been rough. But we're doing our best for sure. It's the big thing that I have just had big complaints about is the condensed release schedule we just came out of. It just seemed like, you know, keeping your head above water is just tough during that because it's like the minute you get up for air, it's like another game comes and hits you in the face. So it's been a pretty busy time for sure.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting because for years and years and years, close to 10 years, I was one of the main sports game writers for Games Radar, as you know, a lot of people know. Obviously, with moving into out of the park developments, my writing time has dramatically reduced. Although I do still get to keep my chops in the writing game a little bit. I did do actually one console game review this year for Games Radar, and then for a couple of other future publications. So I'm not completely out of the game. But what's been interesting to me is I haven't had to play all of the sports games on consoles that have come out in this rush. I've been able to just pick and choose what I want to play when I want to play it, with the exception of NBA 2K17, which I did those reviews on. And it's actually been a really refreshing experience, like not having that pressure of needing and feeling and having to play all the games. It's been interesting. I've been able to let some games sort of slide, right, and know that they're going to be coming down the pike later on, and being able to spend more time with less games. You know, it's funny. I hear, you know, in our video game world, at least it seems to me like there's just always this clamor for what's the next game? What's the next game? I want more. You know, oh, this game is delayed. That's terrible. Oh, no, it's awful, awful, awful. And the whole time I'm thinking, my gosh, I have more games that I could possibly ever play available now. I don't want any more. I'm good. So, Chris, with this sports avalanche, what have you been playing? Where have you been? What have you played? What have you not played? What's your approach been this fall?
Well, you know, it's sacrilegious almost, I think, for the editor-in-chief of OS to have not played every sports game. But it's true. It's so condensed. There's so many games. I just feel like I want to enjoy these games. And so while they're all on my hard drive ready to be played, I'm literally stacking them out. I'm on year 3 of a Madden franchise right now. I have made it 3 years in. Play the Moments. Incredible to speed that up. I've really enjoyed that. But then I've been playing NBA 2K as well with basketball season starting. I haven't played enough NHL yet, but I will be doing that over the winter with FIFA. Winter is going to be NHL and FIFA season. And then I'm going to hit MLB The Show, and then I'll probably still be playing Madden or something like that by then, or basketball. I don't know. It's just I'm going to end up playing them all through this year. But yeah, I'm just wanting to give them more individual time this year because I noticed for the longest time, I'm getting like a year or two into these franchises and never like not getting further than that. Whereas before, you know, I'd play NCAA football and get like 10 years deep into a dynasty. So I'm just trying to recreate that a little bit and get deeper into these games and really enjoy them, enjoy the stories you can create, the attachment you can get to these players you will never meet in real life because they're not real, but yet they're real to you. Yeah, it's just that's the beauty of sports games. And I'm trying to have that again, I guess, the best way to put it.
Because my current playlist right now is MLB The Show, Madden, and then a little bit going back and forth between FIFA and PES.
Yeah.
So MLB The Show, I am in the National League Championship Series with my Mets against the Washington Nationals. I'm in two online leagues of Madden, the Press Row League, and then another league as well with some other friends. Not doing as badly as I had been, although a certain person named Jeremy Stein might have destroyed me the other night in our game.
That was a lot of user picks. And you know what's funny is, and I say that like I it was all me. I kept hitting A when I was near you, and I've never just accidentally gotten so many user picks in a game. So it wasn't me at all. I don't know what happened. Like, those dice rolls just went against you every time. So I'll take it, though.
Absolutely. I mean, I just played terribly, and you played well. And when those two things happen, I think I had seven turnovers, six interceptions, and a fumble, right? If I remember.
Correct. Yeah. And two fumbles you recovered yourself.
Yes.
If you keep this up, we're going to have you and Steve playing the old man's bowl, and it's going to be a 3-2 game. I'm just saying.
Field goal, safety. Who's going to get it?
Oh, I got a lot of time in with this year's Madden, and not that that's why. Like again, like a lot of there was a lot of. I've never been so lucky with picks in a game, but just spending more time with Ultimate Team and trying to play a little bit of time online helped a lot this year. For some reason, this year's Madden's clicking a little better than normally.
Yeah, it took me a while. Like, you know, I've as people who have listened to the show for a long time know, like Madden is kind of a year-round thing for me, but not like playing it all the time, playing one or two games a week in our online league. You know, our online league is the only way that I play Madden. I don't play offline anymore. I don't do the franchises anymore. I don't do Ultimate Team. I just play our leagues. And so what happened is if that's all that you play, you don't practice, you don't do anything else, it can take you a little while to get your footing. So while I still don't have my footing, I'm not playing as badly as I had been at the very beginning. I've won the last couple of games that I played, although last night we tried a couple times and got disconnected in a game where I was playing Night Attack 09, Adam Burnett. So I'm getting a little better, but this year's Madden is definitely different than last year's. You know, they've had a few patches and tuning updates. Jeremy, what stands out to you being the most, you know, what's different this year with Madden to you? Like, what do you sense?
Oh, I mean, everything about this year, it is the Madden that reminds me the most of NCAA Football 04. And when I say that, I mean that it is NCAA Football 04 is my favorite football game, probably my favorite sports game of all time. A big reason I went into video games and sports in general. So I mean that as a high compliment, and specifically it's the polish overall. The two things it's not just two things. They did a bunch of features where they've been rounding out stuff in the gameplay for a number of years. The online career mode obviously is basically why I know you. But a lot of it, there's been plenty of problems where, you know, a lot of our interactions, have been, you know, complaining about Madden. And so this year, though, they fixed like everything. Commentary is the best that Madden's ever had. Commentary was horrific in previous Maddens. I never need to hear Phil Simms ever, ever, ever again. But the new coverage system, it's way more similar to what the 2K games have done for years, where they kind of get a lesser name but local talent, get a lot of coverage, you know, handle situational stuff. I mean, like everyone else has said, but it's amazing. And I'm now a major FIFA player, and that's the thing I miss the most. And then obviously, Play the Moments is amazing. I mean, that actually is a feature that could have been a gimmick and actually does a pretty good job for a 1.0 of moving the game along and still keeping you engaged. But you could go down the list. When I worked on Madden, they asked me to work on a game planning feature, and I could never figure out a good way to do it. And a lot of the principles they applied, where they took things that were clunky and streamlined them, specifically in the game planning with giving your players XP. It's just so many good choices and so much polish all around. I even like the Friday Night Draft Champions, so that's a good live event. There's just a lot of good choices throughout the game, and the gameplay feels just pretty solid and polished.
So I don't disagree with anything that you said. I'm enjoying this year's Madden. I don't feel like I even have a handle on it. Like, I couldn't tell you right now specifically what's different this year than last year on the field. I just know that some of the things that I used to do last year don't work this year. And I do know that, like, crossing patterns, I can pretty much hit a crossing pattern anytime. The only problem is I can only usually get, 5 to 7, yards on a crossing pattern. But, like, other than that, I just know that it's different, but things aren't working that great. Or the things that used to work for me last year don't work for me as well this year. I don't know why, and I haven't spent the time to figure it out. I just, over the course of 2 or 3 or 4 seasons, I presume I'll figure it out, because my typical trajectory is to, have an okay first year, a pretty decent second year, and third and fourth years are when I typically advance to, the latter stages of playoffs and championships. You mentioned, the Play the Moments. My only issue with Play the Moments is the fact that my team always seems to give up lots and lots of points. Like, I just feel like I have no control, and whenever I use Play the Moments, I'm in a very precarious position late in the game. Chris Sander, what's Madden like for you this year? What's different? What do you feel is different, better, worse, this year with Madden for you?
Well, the big thing on Play the Moments, I use the Chiefs, and I feel like it's the exact opposite. I feel like my defense is like an iron curtain that can't be penetrated. It's ridiculous how few yards and points I give up. I don't know what the deal is, but that's been my experience. It's been, man, I kind of feel like my defense is overpowered. This seems a little ridiculous, but also it doesn't hurt that the Chiefs defense is also highly rated and full of a bunch of star players, which I also have beefed up in year two and then year three. But other than that, Madden this year, to me, I think, crossing patterns have been really easy to hit still, I think. But the zone defenses, having the guys in the zones be more active, be able to pick up on receivers more so, that's really helped. And the thing that I guess stands out most is Madden this year, I feel like for everything people do, I can stop it if I scheme for it. So if I'm playing a human and they're wanting to hit crossing patterns, I can beef up my middle zones and user a guy across the middle, and they're going to have just a lot of trouble. If they're throwing it deep, I can take control of a safety, and they're going to be shut down. So I feel like there's balance this year. Outside of that commentary, I will just completely echo Jeremy. The commentary this year, they did the right thing by going with those two guys. They have just been a phenomenal addition. It feels a lot better when you fire up a game. I'm actually not skipping the intro sometimes, because they set the stage so well some weeks to where you're just like, yeah, this feels like a big game now. Feels bigger than it did before. And that's what that's what the presentation should be doing for you. So I just overall polish. It's got a lot going for it. There's still some weak points with Madden, but I mean, as far as a football game goes, you're not going to find something better out there, past present, that is just going to beat Madden at this point. It's just really good in every aspect of the game. It's hitting high notes. There's still improvements to be made, but I mean, you can nitpick NBA 2K, you can nitpick FIFA, NHL, etc. So, I mean, it's up there with everything else at this point in my mind.
Hey everybody, we're going to take just a moment here to thank our sponsors this week, the Dollar Shave Club. Guys, you know that I love the Dollar Shave Club. I've been using them for like 6 months now. The shave is fantastic. What you probably don't know is that I've also been using some of their other really good products too. The quality is the best on the market. I'm using this stuff called shave butter. It's like, instead of shaving cream, the shave butter that you just put right on your face when you're about to shave, and it feels really smooth. It smells great. It's hard to explain why it's so much better than shaving cream, but it's clearly top quality, you know, high quality stuff. But it's not like it costs a ton of money. In fact, it's less expensive overall when you get the great package that they offer than shaving cream. And it when you combine that with the Executive, which is the razor that I use, I mean, I'm walking around feeling like $1 million. You know, it makes me look and smell like $1 million too. And Dollar Shave Club's got stuff for your hair, not just for your face, and for your underparts too. It's for everywhere to keep you looking and feeling fresh. So trust me, once you're in the club, you'll see that they've got the best grooming products on the market, and they're all affordable. That's the best thing about it. So right now is your chance to see for yourself why so many of us love the Dollar Shave Club. And if you're not a member yet and you've never joined, now is the time. You'll get your first month of razors for free. These are high-quality razors for free. Just pay shipping. After that, it's only a few bucks. Join today. Help out the Press Row podcast. You know, a lot of people ask us, how come you don't have a Patreon? You know, how come you're not out there, you know, begging for money? Well, we are completely reliant upon our listeners and our sponsors. And you can help us out today and get a great shave. Just go to dollarshaveclub.com/pressrow. That's dollarshaveclub.com/pressrow. Sign up for one of their free trials. They got a whole bunch of great stuff out there, whether it's the Executive Razor or some of their other ones. Fantastic bundles. Highly recommended. I use them. I'm in. I'm sold. Give them a shot. dollarshaveclub.com/pressrow. One of the things I've also noticed recently, Chris, is that NBA 2K is pumping out patches like what feels like every 20 minutes. And I follow Mike Wang on Twitter, and even just, you know, tonight, looking through my timeline, he's mentioning, all right, well, we made this new change, and you know, it's going to be live tomorrow. And you know, for example, right, like just today, and today is October 13th. He says, all right, patch 104 notes are here. Shot time will become more difficult soon. It's too easy right now because I had to compensate for the shot meter glitch. When I undoed my Band-Aid fix, you'll see a noticeable drop in the frequency of green releases, so enjoy them while they last. Sharpshooters will be fine, but no one should be averaging 80% from three-point range. Pass speeds, moving screens, and defense are being looked at as well. And yes, we know about the relentless finisher issue. We'll fix ASAP. I mean, number one, kudos to Mike Wang and the NBA team for being so transparent, right? That's great. You know, this is the kind of communication that we would hope that they would provide. So that's awesome. But we also know that NBA 2K came out early this year, and this is, you know, this is not the first patch. This is the second or third or the fourth. What's your sense with NBA 2K17? The early release, you know, it's not even close to basketball season. I mean, my personal sense with NBA 2K is that it's great, but it doesn't have that same sort of 1-2 punch impact with me this year so far. It seems, you know, we know there have been issues that not only Mike is talking about now, but other issues with my career and stuff. Like, where are you with NBA 2K17, Chris?
Well, I agree with that. I think that the first thing is my career is just an absolute freaking mess. I think the mode's terrible. I really do. The idea of narrative in sports gaming is brilliant. They should really, really, really keep doing that. But they need to rethink the design decisions, like not being able to skip through cutscenes, having what is apparently an all-world generational talent be rated 55 overall. I mean, come on. I mean, president of basketball and you're rated 55 overall. I would get laughed at if I claimed that and I was 55 overall. I mean, it's stuff like that. It's just and have it so essential to the rest of the game. That's just I think it's a shame that mode is the weakest, but it's the most essential to play. Other than that, like the gameplay and such, I mean, it's basketball. It's real basketball. And I absolutely love that aspect of the game. But it really is. I think the early release hurt it. They've had a lot more bugs than usual. I've even noticed a few on the court. The other thing that I think, I mean, again, back to the release schedule. I mean, why can't this game be an October release? Why could it have not come out this week as the preseason's really heating up? And, I mean, it just, it would make so much sense. But I know they got WWE 2K, but that can be moved as well. I don't know. But as far as NBA 2K goes, it's really, really good. Don't get me wrong.
Right,
it may very well win Sports Game of the Year again on Operation Sports. But it does have competitors this year, and I think it's because they're really getting to the point where I don't know if they can – I mean, you can't go very far if you're already at the top of the mountain. That's the first problem. And then you start having stumbles in modes like My Career. At some point you innovate enough, but you can't keep innovating. I mean, that's what you run into. And I think that's kind of where they're running. That's the kind of force they're running into at this point, is that people expect them to do something big and great every year, and I don't think they're going to be able to do that in the next 5 or 6 years. It's going to be a lot of more refinement versus innovation, but yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, you hit on it, right? These are annual sports games. There's only so much you can do, even if you have the most resources in the world, like a FIFA, right, which we're going to talk about in a minute. No matter what, there's only so much that you can do, and like I said, I don't know anybody who doesn't think that NBA 2K is not a fantastic game. It is a fantastic game.
Yeah.
My personal issue, not issue with NBA 2K, it's not an issue, is I'm just not playing it right now. It doesn't feel like basketball season to me. I'm super into FIFA. I'm still into MLB The Show, right? It's the Major League Baseball playoffs. I'm super into Madden because our online league is just, as always, just the greatest thing ever, and it's football season. So, yeah, I'm not claiming to be representing anybody in the general public. I'm sure NBA 2K is still going to be at the top of the sales charts, and it's going to continue to do spectacularly for them. So it's just for me personally, I'm in a sort of a weird spot with NBA 2K in that pretty much every year for the last 5 or 6 years, once NBA 2K is out, it is at the top of my list. It's what I play. It's my main game. And it's just not right there for me right now. That's okay. Jeremy, I know what is at the top of your playlist, what you're playing like a crazy person, as we talked about last week in San Francisco, which is why you're here right now. I'm fascinated with your relationship with FIFA. Talk to me, sir. What is happening with FIFA 17 and you these days?
Yeah, I'm playing a lot of it, as always. FIFA's weird. So last year, I ran like a totally unscientific split test on myself where I played Ultimate Team on Xbox One and spent a lot of money, and then played Ultimate Team on Xbox on PS4 and spent no money. And
I mean, knowing that you're running scientific experiments on yourself, I love that. That is such a great thing to do.
Deeply unscientific, but I mean, it's still like something where I'm able to learn things about, you know, I make a free to play game and it lets me, you know, engage with a sport and a game I really like that has a great, you know, monetization system and mode and Ultimate Team. So it lets me indulge in all that. So I get to learn and still, you know, relax and have my hangout time. So it pushes a lot of buttons for me in a good way. So or rather checks a lot of boxes. I'm not so good at metaphors at 8 o'clock at night. I love this year's FIFA. It's deeply flawed. And part of why I love this year's FIFA is that I'm currently on a 10 game winning streak or not a 10 game, 10 game undefeated streak. And I think when you're winning, it always is a good game. I'm very much liking it. Ultimate Team is mostly what I'm playing. I'm playing on both systems. I switched to PS4 mostly this year. Much going to monetize a lot lighter because I actually found the more fun system was the one with more players, but also the one that, you know, felt nicer building a cheap squad. It felt more satisfying.
You know, I got into a real deep groove with FIFA 16 over the last few months. As a lot of people remember, I loved Pro Evo last year, and I played through 3 complete seasons as Everton, eventually winning the Premier League. And then after 3 years with Pro Evo, sometime in, I'm going to say, April, May timeframe, I'm like, you know what, I want to go back to FIFA 16. I didn't play it enough, and I remember it being really good. And so then I spent probably 3 months playing FIFA 16 on a regular basis, played 3 complete seasons and rebuilt Everton. And, you know, for the first time ever last year, I really felt like I understood how to use the systems that FIFA gives you to scout players around the world and to sign players and sell them. You know, like I never really before last year really understood how to use those systems. And I just thoroughly enjoyed it. And like I said, I just got to a deep groove where it didn't matter. It was April, May, June. There's all these games coming out. I'm like, you know what? I'm playing FIFA. I'm just going to keep on playing FIFA because I just love playing this game. So you get into that really happy groove. I know exactly where you are, Jeremy. So what's interesting to me is my sort of happy groove is the franchise mode. Yours is Ultimate Team. Before we get into a little bit more of Ultimate Team, on the field this year, FIFA made a huge change going from their previous engine to the Frostbite engine. To me, who's played some FIFA 17, but by no means have I played 20, 30, 40, 50 hours. I've played a few hours, and we'll talk about what most of that has been. It doesn't, to me, look dramatically different. You know, if I didn't know that it was a Frostbite engine, I don't even know that I would notice a whole lot of changes. What is Frostbite meant to you? I mean, am I just too casual that I don't see it, or is that actually purposeful? Like, it's not supposed to be jumping off the screen and how different it looks and feels.
I don't think it's just that you're too casual. I mean, it definitely doesn't look that different when you're playing just moment to moment. The regular gameplay, the animation. I'm throwing love at FIFA overall. It's my hobby, and you know, if you'd asked me before the win streak, I'd been on like a 3-game losing streak, and FIFA 17 was the worst game ever. So you know, it's not really a perfect game. And one of the things is I do think the Frostbite engine, to me, it makes the game look better. I think on the Xbox S and the Xbox One and the PS4 regular or slim, it's not going to really look that much better. When you see it on a PC, and I'm expecting with the PS4 Pro, it'll look a little bit better. You can get some of the advantages out of it. I mean, everything will look better, but I think on PC it looks really good. Whereas, you know, last year's FIFA was a really ugly game. When you compared it to kind of everything else out there on the marketplace, you know, you compared it to an NBA 2K or Madden, graphically it was kind of brutal and looked very dated in a lot of ways. And for me, it's a lot like a lot of the particle stuff where you've got like fog and dusk. It the lighting's different. Like that's better. The models are less cartoonish, and a lot of the cutscenes are better where you actually can see the manager on the touchline. And you know, a lot of those things are just more there. So I think it looks better, but I was actually surprised on the PS4 and Xbox how little the moment-to-moment gameplay looked different. And the other thing is that I don't know what they went through to port to the Frostbite engine, because it seems like that's mostly a rendering side of the game, so basically about graphics. I don't know why the reason, maybe I don't know exactly what they changed in their animation system, but this year's clunky. The players feel it's good because they're more powerful and you're not just quick guys playing well, but like, man, a lot of players are just clumsy in ways that they shouldn't be. They often feel boat-like, even supposedly quick players. And if you don't know the tricks and quirks of the animation system, it can be tough maneuvering, and that feels like a downgrade from FIFA 16.
Chris Sander, have you played FIFA at all yet? I know you said you were saving it for the fall, but have you at least given yourself a bit of a sneak preview of FIFA?
I have literally played 2 games total of FIFA, so my experiences are limited for sure. But I mean, yeah, it's FIFA. I love the game. So I will probably put in more time with FIFA than any other game when I finally get to it. But I'm trying, Rich, to hold off so I can enjoy NBA and Madden at this time.
So one of the things that I've been noticing happening a lot on Operation Sports, you guys are doing a great job. You got a series of videos comparing Pro Evo and FIFA. And also, I noticed the other day, I haven't watched it yet, but I can't wait. You've got a video that gives you the tactics for every team in the Premier League. Thank you for that, because I can't wait to find that and bookmark for Everton so I can figure out how to just be more than just brute force. Well, what's the Operation Sports community talking about when it comes to FIFA versus Pro Evo. You know, we know Pro Evo sales are you know, a rounding error when compared to FIFA. But I think in the community, I know there's spirited discussions. What are the discussions like in Operation Sports? What are people enjoying both games, or people enjoying one much more than the other? What's happening over there on OS?
These are spirited discussions, Rich. This episode isn't going to air, right? You know, there's nothing, so I can speak freely.
Speak freely. No one will hear this.
Okay. Well, in that case, people actually generally like both games. There you go. No. I mean, people have definitely, the reactions to the articles with Kevin and Fraser, the first one was pretty good. I can't wait to see, they're doing gameplay this week. So that's when I think that's when people will get a little bit more spirited, because obviously there's always the perception that Pez does a better job on the field and FIFA lags behind.
Not a perception. Pro Evo is better on the field. It was better last year. It's better this year. It's not a perception. At least, not to this guy right here.
Yeah, well, you are. I would be in your camp as well, but I'm trying to be diplomatic, so you know. But
I have a terrible admission.
What's that?
I haven't played PES.
Oh, I've all the begging I've done of you, Jeremy. I have literally begged. Do I have to send you a copy of the game? Is that what it takes?
Insert.
I would not.
Oh, I'm just saying we need to insert a raveling crowd with pitchforks and flames and stuff in the background here.
No, that's a totally fair response. It's like when I tell people I don't like Zelda. I'm just going to list all my flaws. So I haven't played PES and Zelda. I have played and I don't like it, and I know that makes me a bad person, and I really should. But I'm FIFA monogamous in a way that makes no sense. So yeah, if you just showed up at my front door with a copy of PES, I would totally play PES.
Okay, well that's good to know. But I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, this is what we were talking about earlier, right? With so many games to play, and we are all professionals, right? We all have multiple jobs, right? I mean, I don't think there's anybody I know that really just has one job anymore. Yeah, you got your main job, but then you got couple other jobs, and you do this, and then you consult on the side, and then you run marketing for a video game company, you know, and you do all these different things. There's not a whole lot of time for games, right? So, you know, there's no shame in it. And frankly, if you know you're trying to play five or six console sports games at once these days, you're going to be at best okay at all of them and good at none of them. So there's no shame in it. And the other thing is, these games are so big. Right, like I've played, like I said, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 hours of FIFA. The bulk of the amount of time that I've spent playing FIFA has been the journey. Chris, you were talking earlier about how you know you want to see the single player, you know, sort of cinematic career modes, or at least story modes, you know, move forward in sports games. I couldn't agree more. I love the journey. I am having a great time playing it, and I am not a guy who ever used to enjoy Be a Pro. The reason I didn't like Be a Pro is I hate just being one dude running around on the pitch for a half an hour, never getting the ball, and then as soon as I get the ball, I'm like, oh, I gotta give the ball away. So not only am I enjoying the journey because I enjoy the attempt at telling a story, and you know, I think I like, you know, where this is, right? It's a young kid coming up, he's got a tough family situation, he has to try out and he has to, you know, move on from the academy and go forward. But I also love, for example, the fact that when you play your games as your guy, you can choose to play as just him or you can choose to play as the whole team. So immediately I am more interested in playing it because I've always played FIFA from, you know, I'm just controlling the entire team. So that's just one example of why I love the journey. Jeremy, have you played the journey at all? And if so, what are your thoughts on that?
I wouldn't be a good FIFA addict if I hadn't. I've definitely played it. It's one of the cool hooks. I'm going to spoiler alert this one. So spoiler alert.
I'm only about 3 hours in so far.
Okay. There's a spoiler about what happens when you beat it.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's a total spoiler that I haven't gotten to. So, all right, go ahead.
Earmuffs,
spoiler
Rich.
For me. Okay. Earmuffs.
You get a copy of the Alex Hunter card at the position he was playing, and that's great in Ultimate Team. So you can use that player in Ultimate Team.
Oh,
and
gotcha. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool, and he's actually a pretty usable card. He's like a 75 overall with pretty decent pace and dribbling. So
and how long did it take you to beat it? By the way, like how many hours are we talking here?
Oh, I haven't beaten it yet. I only started playing it in order to someday get this card. I still spend most of my time. So I haven't beaten it yet, but I started playing because I saw on the internet that spoiler, and I was like, yes, I want that. And I've played against him online, and it's cool because he's pretty good. So that's a good. I mean, I'm excited. I think he's going to be a center forward for me. So that's great. So you can play him all over the pitch. I don't know. It's pretty fun. It's dumb. I'm like all sports game storytelling. I mean, like it's the writing is so hackneyed. The like, you know, the characters are a bunch of tropey archetypes. They speak in cliches. Just all these things that are not exactly unique to FIFA.
That's why it's fun, right? Like to me, like that's the charm. I put it in air quotes. But like even last year with the NBA 2K Spike Lee thing that now everybody hates. Oh, that was terrible. I got a huge kick out of it. Who cares? Yes, it's dumb, but I mean, it's also fun to see people do different things. No, I don't know.
So that's the thing. So even with that caveat of like it's dumb, and like if you held it up against like the television competitor, like sports video game storytelling in the like single player narrative has a long way to go overall. But for a 1.0 and for being in FIFA and a lot of the other stuff that it does really well and breaks new ground and or does, you know, well for a sports game, I mean, I think it's absolutely admirable. I want to see him iterate on it more. I like, so far what I've seen from the performance of the guy playing Alex Hunter is good. His relationship with his buddy Gareth is like, doesn't make any sense. Gaz, whatever. Like, it's dumb. But it moves along the narrative. But then there's all these moments where you're like, you know, I've gotten to the exit trials and playing in the game, and then I played
it's
a
intense.
Half.
It is intense.
Yeah.
Because you know what's at stake.
Yeah, I sucked, and then I was like 20th out of 24, and I'm like, ooh. Or I was like 24th out of 24. Yeah. Things were looking bad, and yeah, I got like that's narrative, like that's good interactive fiction. Like we're not even to like Birth of the Nation, you know, in film, in terms of like, you know, the evolution of this type of game mode, but for a first effort, you know, like it's a damsel being tied to a train track. Like if you've never seen that before, it's gonna be awesome. And I think for a first attempt, it's really great. Like I totally enjoyed the trials and a lot of the stuff that came up systemically to kind of move the narrative around, and how it does seem like it's really branching. Like you can screw up and the game will adapt pretty well and react and give you plausible outcomes. So it feels like there's dramatic tension all the time. And that's amazing. I think there's a lot of potential there. It's fun on its own. It is still dumb and will look really silly in a few years. But as a 1.0, I think it's great.
I couldn't agree more. I loved the trials. I didn't make it through the first time. I had to go through a second time.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And, you know, at the end of the first time, you know, and I was close too. Like I wasn't, I was like 13th or 11th. And then I was like, I think I was like 11th going into the final 11-on-11 game. And I, you know, just didn't do enough to move up. And, you know, the guy comes over, he's like, I would have expected better from you. You know, I had to go back and do it again. And I did a little better, then ultimately made it through. I love the fact that you can, you know, sign with any club. Like, I'm a huge Everton supporter. I love the fact that I could sign with Everton. Now, when I originally did it, I did it on the Xbox One on the EA Access trial. I can't see me picking a different club, but just for fun, I might decide to go, like, with some sort of, you know, like a Bournemouth or a Burnley or, you know, somebody who's in the Premier League but isn't a big club, just to see what that would be like. So I love that. And then, you know, it's not spoilery, but it's relatively early on. You know, when you make the club, you have to sort of fight to get into even the reserves and into the bench club. And then your club goes on an American preseason tour and you get to play in Seattle and you get to
get
subbed in pretty late on. And I actually wound up scoring a goal in that game. And that feeling of scoring your first goal was just spectacular. I'm just a huge fan of the journey. Chris Sander, what are people saying about the journey on Operation Sports? Is it a big hit? Is it a medium hit? Like, I know you're never going to please everybody, but what's your sense on the overall take on the journey in FIFA?
Right now, it seems like There's a good mixture, as you would expect, and you just gave me a great idea for tomorrow's poll on Operation Sports, Rich. You've done a great job. That's totally going
to
be it.
What? I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve.
So we're going to have a more complete set of polling tomorrow, toward the end of the day. But no, seriously, the reaction has been pretty positive. There's been a couple of naysayers, as you would expect. I mean, it's Operation Sports. That's the first thing, so... But at the same time, it seems like a lot of people are really enjoying it. I am probably going to play it most when I jump in because it is new manager mode. While it's great and kind of the bedrock of the single player experience, I just think it's time for a change. And the guys at FIFA, I think it sounds like from what everyone's saying, it's been a pretty well received thing. And I think overall, especially with the OSers, it's been better than average received, and I guess that poll tomorrow we'll find out how well they've been received.
Well, another thing I'll give it credit for is that it does a wonderful job in that cycle that every good video game does is just one more. Right, I'm not going to bed. I'm going to do one more. Right, I'm going to play one more match. I'm going to do one more drill. The Journey to me does a spectacular job of doing that as well. So you chatted a little bit about Ultimate Team, Jeremy. I know you probably got a little bit more. I mean, FIFA Ultimate Team, it is probably the world's most popular game mode, certainly in the console space. Excuse me, not just in sports video games, in any console video game. What is working for you this year in Ultimate Team? What's different? What's better? Or, maybe what isn't better? What's Ultimate Team mean for you in FIFA 17 as a huge Ultimate Team guy?
So right now, and I haven't played a lot of career mode, but we can kind of get into that in a little bit because I do, there's a lot of interesting things that happen there and there's a lot of stuff to work on. But with Ultimate Team, the biggest thing that they added was the squad builder challenges and the weekend, I guess it's two things, that and the weekend league. So someone who has to like tune game economies and look at that stuff. And someone who played Ultimate Team a lot, looking at their sets in the Madden system and Mutt and seeing FIFA's implementation of that with their squad builder challenge, it's been great. The rewards are pretty generous. You feel clever in terms of building these sort of mini squads to kind of connect the dots and try to buy them cheaply off the market if you don't have them or if you've got a bunch of cards, and gives you a good reason to hold off on cards. And even the way that they've set it up as kind of a live system is, as a fellow game developer, it's definitely something I've admired and feel like I'm learning things from because because it's tied to the real world. They do a good job of tying the next squad to the games that are coming up. So, the big game last week, one of them was Netherlands, France. And so you had to have a bunch of Dutch and French cards to put into this thing and you get all these cards back. The Premier League player of the month last month was Raheem Sterling. So you had to get a bunch of Manchester City players and et cetera to get this really nice card of Raheem Sterling. And what that also creates is this other meta layer where you're playing the auction house to try to predict who's going to be the next thing, what's going to be the next game. One pro tip I'd give to our audience is to look at American players and Mexican players and pick those up on the cheap right now, because you can be certain that they're going to have a squad builder challenge where you need a lot of Mexicans and Americans in that squad, and you'll get a nice reward out of it. I don't know what it'll be, but if nothing else, you can sell those cards at a good profit as the game comes up. And even before that, people will be speculating before the squad even comes out. And so adding that layer to the economy and giving you another reason to play with the auction house, for people who really like that, it's super fun. For people who are kind of like lazy about selling their cards and they're like, Chilean league cards are needed right now, I'll just sell them all at a great profit. It's really fun. So that part is engaging. And then the weekend league is cool because it gives you a reason to show up when you probably have the most free time. And it seems like a pretty fun event. And I'm excited to try to win what looks like pretty generous prizes, even if I lose most of my games, which seems very likely.
And the career mode. So this is where I spent basically, no, not even basically. This is where I spent 100% of my time in FIFA 16. Many, many, many hours, three seasons. And it's not just, you know, the, what, 38 Premier League games. It's also the FA Cup and the Capital One Cup. And I made the Champions League a couple of times. So, you know, what's new and interesting for you in the sort of the traditional manager mode that both Chris Sanner and I will get lost in at some point in the not too distant future?
So Ultimate Team is what I play right now. For years, what I played was career mode. Then I alluded to, you know, like NCAA 04, one of the greatest career modes ever for its time. FIFA, though, has, for me, fallen off on the career mode overall in the last few years. And I started playing a lot more online competitive Ultimate Team because the CPU last year in 16 was so tedious on world class, but a little too easy on professional. And so I just found playing the CPU just awful last year. They fixed a lot of the kind of hacky stuff they did to, I guess, I make the CPU more effective in their own half. And so the CPU takes more risks. And so playing the career mode to me is better this year. I haven't done as much, but what I've played has been fun. And the other thing is that put me off career mode in 16 after spending at least 1,000 hours a year on, especially on the PC version. I haven't even picked up the full PC version yet this year. I've only played it on Origin, which is pretty neat. But it is that they had the Youth Academy. You could never make a good American squad. You'd get these Youth Academy prospects from the United States or any country, and they'd be a win player, and they'd have 60 speed. You could sell them for a lot of coins, but they'd never be good. So they'd always have these really bad physical stats, and they'd grow into these, like, you know, statues that could pass really well. And it was boring. But now they fixed that. So this year, it looks like the physical traits improve better. Last year, if you train players up, it would actually stunt their physical growth. So if you made them better at passing, they'd be slower. It was broken, obviously, but this year they fixed that. And so between fixing the gameplay and that, I'm trying right now to maximize my Ultimate Team, and then I'm going to spend some time with the Journey. And then after that, I'm going to try to play some real career mode this year, because they do still really need to fix their commentary. Madden's improvements very much highlight FIFA's deficiencies there, and not having that storytelling. Like Chris said, that sort of pregame you get in Madden that builds things up and sets the stage for the narrative of your season, and there's people talking about your fake world, it makes it feel real. FIFA doesn't have that. It's completely unconvincing. It's pretty bland. Last year, if you won the premiership with Leicester, they would have barely remarked on it. And this year's not much different. So that side could use a reboot. But the gameplay and the systems work even better this year. And I'm looking forward to some career mode.
Fantastic. Well, all right, gentlemen. Thank you guys very much for coming on the show tonight. It was a real pleasure. So many good sports game experiences to be had right now. The release season is over, and what that does is that allows us to actually just get into the actual season and start enjoying the games. So it's just like last year was a spectacular year, this year is a spectacular year. And it doesn't matter what kind of sports game you like. We haven't even talked about, you know, like the games like Forza Horizon 3, which is not a traditional sports game, but as a racing game is fantastic. There's just so much good stuff, so many things to enjoy. So thank you, Jeremy Stein from Panda Pop, once again, much appreciated. And thank you, Chris Sanner from Operation Sports. So great to talk to both you old friends. Thanks for coming on, and let's do this again soon, shall we?
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, same.